Welcome, everybody, to our 2013 Fall Faculty Staff Conference. It always feels a little bit strange to be welcoming people to a fall conference in the middle of October, middle of August. But actually, this morning feels a little bit like fall. So we've had an unusually wet and cool summer. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll have a chance in a few minutes to welcome the new folks who are here, and there are many of you this year. For those of you for whom this isn't your first fall conference, one of your assignments for today is to find somebody who's new and introduce yourself and tell them what you do at EMU. This is our opportunity to get the year started on a high note and begin early to build our community of learning. The theme for our conference this year, you'll see, is serving with compassion. This comes from a phrase in our university mission vision statement. We often focus on the service side of that phrase because we think of ourselves as people who serve and have a tradition of service. What we want to do in the conference this year is to focus a little bit more on the compassion side of that phrase. Compassion means literally something along the lines of feeling with. It has a sense of equality and mutuality to it that we often don't think about or highlight when we focus on service. We often think about service as something we do to others or for others. What we want to focus on in this conference is how do we do service with others, alongside others, feeling and having a passion with others. We have two visiting speakers with us this year. This morning you'll be hearing from Leonard Dow, who's a pastor of a church in Philadelphia that has a long tradition of ministries of compassion working with the people in the city. Leonard is married to Rosalie Rolone Dow, who is a professional educator with specialties in education in the Latino community, and she'll be doing a workshop for us this afternoon on how to welcome and work with the Latino community in our area. Our long, traditional, trusty MC for the fall conference is Dave King, and we didn't want to break with tradition this year, so I'm happy to welcome Dave King to the platform.
Well, you stole part of my thunder to say, how about those temperatures this morning? The morning jog was pretty nice this morning. I was not sure if I even broke a sweat. That wasn't because of how slow I was going. It was because of... Although I did stop at Mr. J's the other week and after my morning run and ran into someone who said, didn't I see you out there on the road? And I said, yes, I was out for my morning jog. He said, is that what you call it? To which I responded, I didn't see you. Good morning and welcome to the 2013 edition of the Faculty Staff Conference. We have gathered together this day to connect and reconnect with each other, to commit and to recommit ourselves to Christ, and to energize and re-energize ourselves for the journey ahead. We come as rookies to both higher education and EMU. We come as veterans to higher education, but new to EMU. And we come as veterans to both higher education and EMU. We come from writing, reading, vacationing, working, traveling, celebrating, building, creating, or grieving. We come fearful, anxious, energetic, confident, uncertain, and ambivalent. But as we will soon find out, our time together will also be a time of challenge, a challenge to see beyond ourselves and to focus on the people we relate to in our classroom, our office, the dining hall, the residence hall, on the field or the court, in the stands, and in the boardroom. It will be a time to stop the navel-gazing and self-centeredness, the I language, if you will, and grab the rich opportunities that exist around us. Now, while this might sound contradictory to this previous statement, in the end, I do believe the experience might be about us, because the levels to which we show compassion to others will be equivalent to the levels of growth that we experience in our own lives, and the richer our experience will be during this coming school year. And I trust that during this day and a half that you will find something, each of us will find something during the conference that will lighten our load for the journey, something that will help us refocus our efforts on those around us and energize us for the work ahead of us, providing a way for us to experience the true joy that comes in doing God's work at this time and in this place. I welcome you to the conference.
We've already heard that we're turning our faces these days toward compassion. We're doing it with each other. We're doing it together. Compassion is one of the highest virtues in nearly every religion of the world. Rumi, the 13th century Persian poet, theologian, Sufi mystic, his instructions are simple. His instructions for compassion: be a lamp, or a lifeboat, or a ladder. Walk out of your house like a shepherd. The Golden Rule says, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Compassion ebbs and flows in many directions, as we can see all the time around us. Compassion becomes dysfunctional when the hand says to the foot, I have no need of you, nor again when the foot says to the hand, and I have no need of you. Our worship together on these 2 days is in 2 parts. Today we offer a communal lament for our less than compassionate actions, for those instants when we've too hastily made judgment calls, for those thoughts that lack generosity, for the gaps in our attentiveness, and for all that keeps us from hearing the person between the words. Tomorrow, we will offer our communal praise to the one who is compassionate far beyond human imagining, to the Son whose touch and presence is offered to all, and to the Spirit who is our great reminder when our attentiveness grows weak. You have on your program a fragment of a hymn. The fragment is intentional. It has this question at the beginning of this hymn, what is this place where we are meeting? And then goes on to speak about the contrast between the physical space and the humans who inhabit it. We're only going to ask the question this morning. We'll deal with responses in the worship service this morning and again tomorrow. So I dare you to sing only the first phrase and stop at the question mark.
What is the space where we are meeting?
And sometimes, if we're attentive to the place in which we're meeting, we learn all kinds of things requiring compassion. Sometimes it's the space we gather. Sometimes it's people we meet in the parking lot. Sometimes it's being part of a community that just last night decided that 50 years after the I Have a Dream speech, there would be a street in this town honoring Martin Luther King. Sometimes it's less pleasant observations, things that come along in the culture, in the world around us, that remind us. Sometimes the objects are very simple.
Let's prayerfully focus on grieving our lost children. Another brutality, another school killing, another grief beyond telling and loss. in Colorado, in Wisconsin, among the Amish, in Virginia. Where next? We are reduced to weeping silence, even as we breed a violent culture, even as we kill the sons and daughters of our enemies, even as we fail to live and cherish and respect the forgotten of our common life. There is no joy among us as we empty our schoolhouses. There is no health among us as we move in fear and bottomless anxiety. There is little hope among us as we fall helpless before the gunshot and the shriek and the blood and the panic. We pray to you only because we do not know what else to do. So we pray, move powerfully in our body politic. Move us toward peaceableness that does not want to hurt or to kill. Move us toward justice that the troubled and the forgotten may know mercy. Move us toward forgiveness that we may escape the trap of revenge. Empower us to turn our weapons to acts of mercy, to turn our missiles to gestures of friendship, to turn our bombs to policies of reconciliation. And while we are turning, hear our sadness, our loss, our bitterness. We dare to pray our needfulness to you because you have been there on that gray Friday and watched your own son be murdered for reasons of state. Good God, do Easter here and among these families, here and in all our places of brutality. Move our Easter grief now without too much innocence to your Sunday joy. We pray in the one crucified and risen, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.
In the scripture reading we are about to hear, we hear Jesus speaking the benchmarks of compassion, the benchmarks by which his presence in the world is measured. It's an active response to the needs around us, to the issues and the people and ourselves around us, not a theological deliberation. In hearing these words of Jesus, listen also for what's not mentioned, all kinds of things that have set Christian against Christian and human being against human being, things like the virgin birth, a method of baptism, infallibility of Pope or Scripture, homosexuality, prosperity, and the list is endless. These are our contrivances, not Jesus' benchmarks.
At the appointed time, the Promised One will come in glory, escorted by the angels of heaven, and will sit upon the royal throne and with all the nations assembled below. Then the Promised One will separate them from one another. As a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, the sheep will be on the right hand, the goats on the left. The ruler will say to those on the right, "Come, you blessed of my Abba God, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me. I was ill and you comforted me, in prison and you came to see me." Then these just will ask, "When did we see you hungry and feed you, or see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or clothe you in your nakedness? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit you?" The ruler will answer them, "The truth is, every time you did this for the least of my sisters and brothers, you did it for me."
Let's pray to not the God we would have chosen. We would assume you were stable and reliable. We would assume you were predictable and always the same toward us. We would like to take the hammer of doctrine and the nails of piety and nail your feet to the floor and have you stay in one place. And then we find you moving, always surprising us, always coming at us from new directions, always planting us and uprooting us and tearing all things down and making all things new. You are not the God we would have chosen had we done the choosing, but we are your people, and you have chosen us in freedom. We pray for the great gift of freedom, that we may be free toward you as you are in your world. Give us that gift of freedom, that we may move in new places in obedience and in gratitude. Thank you for Jesus, who embodied your freedom for us all. Amen.
Please stand.